You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Pastor Richard Ellis. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Richard talks about the hope of the gospel unlike anyone else. Now, at the end of today's program, we'll share an exciting and challenging Now Let's Go Do Easter opportunity with you. And if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of the message today is Lovers or Liars? And I want you to turn, and I'm going to read some verses, but I want you to turn over to 1 John chapter 4. I want you to keep a finger there in 1 John chapter 4, because that's where we're going to end up. Something happened this week when this lease was renewed, and I'm not saying we wouldn't have met somewhere. But guys, the doors keep opening, people keep coming, and there are a lot of people searching in Dallas, this neighborhood in general. But we are, as a church, and if you sat down with me and I had time to go through it, this is not about having another church in a white neighborhood that is predominantly, we're not trying to say to people, stay away. This is about whosoever will may come. And it's a little trickier, I got to tell you. I grew up in white churches predominantly in my life. And frankly, white people can't get along with white people. And black people can't get along with black people. And Hispanic people can't get along with black Hispanic people a lot of time. And Hispanic and black and black and white and black and Hispanic, we got enough trouble just with our own kind, so to speak, much less to pile everybody in and say, let's be family. In a way, and I'm not wishing this on anyway, but in a way, church would be a lot easier if we were all blind. And where people showed up, and whoever spoke was blind, whoever read was blind, whoever came was blind, and we couldn't tell. We just didn't know. In a way, guys, you want to have your eyes open spiritually, but you want to be blind and just see people. You cannot do cultural church and call it true Christianity. Now, let me read you some verses to this effect. 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read three verses out of this. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized or put into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. Now guys, if you think black and white is tough, or Hispanic black or Hispanic white is tough, look at this verse. One body, whether Jews or Greeks. Jews and Gentiles did not even touch each other. They couldn't go in the same buildings. They hated. It was beyond hate. Jews back then were it. And if you weren't a Jew, you were a Greek or a Gentile, you were out of the loop. It's even tougher than black and white. And if you go back and study, anybody grow up hearing the story about the Good Samaritan? This guy leaves the house and he gets robbed on the road and he's laying there on the side of the road and a priest comes by and, you know, kind of gets on the other side of the road. No, I don't want to get involved there. And a Levite comes by and sees him and gets on the other side of the road and don't want to get involved there. And a Samaritan comes along and sees this guy and he had compassion on him. And he stopped and put his own stuff on him, bound up his wounds, put him on his own animal, it says, took him to the closest inn. And basically, it's kind of like taking the guy to an emergency room and saying, look, here's my credit card. Whatever he needs, when I come back into town, I'll pay for it. I'll cover it. And we call him the Good Samaritan. You know what? It sounds good, but it's really the normal thing to do. What else could you do? But sometimes it's this religious stuff that keeps us away from people, and it keeps us from getting involved in their lives and touching them and helping them in any way, and we get so standoffish. You can't be a cultural Christian and it ever work. Does everybody understand this? And I'm going to lose some people over this stuff. I know that. And if you don't believe it, you think, no, yes, you can, then just keep going to church a couple times a year or every month or whenever you do it and do the God thing and live your life like you want to live it and see if it works. You can't get peace out of that. You can't get joy out of that. You won't experience the love of God out of that. It is a 24/7 proposition that it applies to everyone. Jews hated Samaritans. They would go, if you see, and there's a place where Jesus was going to another place, and usually what the Jews would have done is go clean around the Samaritan country to get over there. They wouldn't even gone through. And Jesus made a decision to go through Samaria. And in the middle of the day, there's a woman out at the well who, it turns out, had been married 5 times and was living with some guy. Jesus sits down while the disciples go into town away from the well to get food. And he not only goes through Samaria, but he sits down with this woman and talks to her. And she's stunned. She says, "What are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? Shouldn't be happening. It's male, female. It's Samaritan, Jew." He knocked all these walls down. You say, "Well, I'm not comfortable with all kind of people." I didn't ask you if you're comfortable. The book didn't talk about making you comfortable or not. It says, do you love them or not? And we're about to get into that here. Don't worry. It gets better or worse, as the case may be. Galatians 3:28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Colossians 3:11. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." And if you go back and look at those words added there, barbarian and Scythian, these people were barbarians. They were crass, rude, uncouth, dirty, foul-mouthed. You ever get around somebody, they stink, they talk bad, their language is terrible. And your flesh, who you are, says, "Oh my gosh, I got to get away from these people." You know what the Jesus in you will say? "Let's get through all this crap to the person." Who's in there? Even if somebody looks repulsive, guys, behind everybody who is a human being is a person made in the image of God. And if we as Christians do not figure out a way to go to the heart of the matter where that person is and pull them out, we're in trouble. You say, "Well, here's my kind of Christianity. I want to live in a certain place. I want to drive a certain kind of car. I want to drive certain kind of clothes. I want to go on vacations where there's certain kind of people. I want to bank at a certain kind of bank." And you got your whole life figured out where you can exclude certain kind of people. It isn't church. It isn't Christianity. It doesn't work. And if you're wondering why your neat little toll road life, what I call toll road mentality, where we plop a little change in the basket and shoot up the road and big walls on either side where we're not bothered by anybody's problems, we don't have to see anything but the highway in front of us, and we pull in our driveway, close the door, and do our own thing, that sounds nice and neat, guys, but you can't hide. God didn't leave us down here on this planet as Christians, as believers, to hide out. Anybody use salt in their house? Raise your hand if you use salt in your house on any kind of food or anything. And notice, everyone, I didn't say, "Do you have salt in your house? Do you use it?" The Bible talks about us being salt and light. You know when salt is effective? When it's sprinkled on stuff. If you come to my house to eat and you say, "Do you have any salt?" I say, "Yes." And then I just keep eating. You know what you're asking? Bring me some salt. Because it changes things. I want it. The world is crying out, whether they know it or not, for us to be out there, not hiding out on a toll road, but permeating their lives, changing the flavor and the taste, and it happens. Every day. John 15:12. This is Jesus talking. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." It's not an option, guys. You say, "Well, I'm going to love certain people and I don't think I love other people." It's not optional. If you are a Christian and you look at one person and you say, "I cannot love that person," then something's missing. It's not a pick and choose smorgasbord. I like these people, I don't like those. Now, why is this so huge? Number one, he loved us. But secondly, the world is full of people who love people they love. But what changes is when you walk through your office and the idiot in your office who makes everybody crazy and who is rude and obnoxious and cusses and has all the problems and nobody wants to go to lunch with him, nobody wants to be around him, nobody wants to be near him, and somewhere inside your head and your heart, you say, "You know what? There is a person made in the image of God, and I'm going to find out what's up in those shoes." And you lock in and say, "Father, you've told me to love everybody, so I'm telling you, it is as tough for me as everybody in the office. So if I'm going to love this person, it's going to have to be you doing it. So I'm going to get out of the way and let you love them through me, and let's see what happens." And you would be amazed. I can think of people in my life. You'd be amazed the people who are so unlovable and unlovely, who are so afraid and so freaked out inside and so rejected and so alone because they emit those vibes to everybody. When you finally get through that shell and you sit down with them at lunch or somewhere and you listen to their story, you discover stuff and you think, "Man, no wonder they're this way." and you say to them, you know what, I know you sound like you had a tough deal, but I want you to know there's somebody that cares. People's lives are changed by people's lives who have been changed by Jesus Christ. Know anybody like that? You know why people don't want to come to church? Because if they come in, they got too many problems, or they don't look right or smell right or act right or whatever, you know what? We blow them out the back door and say, we're not looking for your kind. All right, let me read you another one. 1 John 3. Go ahead and turn to this one because I'm going to be in sequence here. Flip back a few pages. You were in 1 John 4, probably holding that. Go to 1 John 3:23. And this commandment stuff. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. It's over and over and over. Jesus clearly gave another commandment. He said, another commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. You can't get away from it. All right, 1 John 4. Let's start with verse 1. I'm going to read down through this, down to the last few verses. And there's some great stuff in here, and we may not get to some of this, but look at verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. You ever wonder how you know if somebody's really a Christian or not, or some church is of God or not, or somebody does miraculous stuff and you're all wowed and wooed? I'm going to tell you what you do. You sit the person down and see if they can say, Jesus is Lord. Because no man can say that Jesus the Christ is Lord, that Jesus is God's Son, the Messiah. They cannot get the words out of their mouth. Because the devil will never admit, or any of his crew will never admit, that anybody is Lord but Satan. They cannot speak the words, Jesus is Lord. Great test. When I get a little nervous about somebody and they seem like, you know, this all looks good, but something, my spirit doesn't bear witness with their spirit, something's wrong, I kind of start talking about Jesus is Lord. Can you say that? You know, take a shot at that. You know, try to say that. Here, read this. Jesus is Lord. Can you read that? I can't say that, you know. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. It's pretty simple. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. He's here. Have you noticed there are all kind of religious groups out there, and they'll talk about God, and they'll talk about religion, and they'll talk about all this stuff. But man, you start talking about Jesus Christ, and they freak completely out. Nobody wants to talk about Jesus. Nobody wants to mention the name of Jesus. I tell girls this. You get on a date, first date with a guy, and you don't know what's up with him and whether you want to date him or not, what direction he's going, just start talking about what's important in your life. Well, you know, I was talking to Jesus the other day. Bubba, he's going to be out of there so fast. He's okay if you talk about God, but you start talking about Jesus. They're gone unless their motives are pure, unless their motives are right. You find you a man that wants to talk about Jesus with you, as long as he can say, Jesus is Lord, make sure you get that in there too. Yeah, he's Lord, now kiss me again. You know, you're like... Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. And guys, this is a great verse. You can do this whether you knew it or not. You can underline stuff in the Bible, okay? Here's a great verse to underline. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Don't lay at night in your bed terrified. If you have the God of the universe living inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and it's true, greater is he who is in you than he who's out there in the world, the enemy. It's not like it's God and the devil and let's see who's going to win. It's the God of the universe and the enemy. He's just one of the angels. He's nobody. Now, he's somebody if you don't have him, if you don't have God. But when you've got God, now if you get away from God, you may be in a heap of trouble. Psalm, dial 911, Psalm 911, 911. Stay close to him. You'll be protected. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know that the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let me tell you something else. If I get up here and speak and read out of this book and nobody's ever offended, something's wrong. If we keep doing this and people keep coming in and everything I read and say is so politically correct and I never ruffle anybody's feathers with anything I say, then we're in big trouble. Because sooner or later, someone's going to walk in and they're going to get furious. Who are you to say there's no way to God but through Jesus Christ? Guys, it is written in the book. I didn't write it. I just work here, okay? I didn't write a bit of this. If you don't like it, talk to the author about it. Read it, figure it out. It's either truth or it's not. Verse 7, here he goes again. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And we'll get to that in a minute. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Here's how God proved His love. He sent His own Son to live, die when He didn't deserve to die, be buried, raised from the dead, shed His blood to forgive us of our sins, wipe out the past, give us a future, give us hope, and you either got Him or you don't. And it is so simple to get Him, it's a gift. It's like Christmas any day of the week. And you say, God, I believe I'm lost. I'm clueless. I don't know which way to go. I don't want to die without you. I don't want to live without you. You died for me. Your son was buried. His thing's all bought and paid for. Then I'm holding out my hand saying, I accept. And I receive this gift of eternal life. And you just say thank you and take it. Or you say no thank you and walk away. I'm not trying to make anybody do it. I'm just telling you the story. I just work here. He sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the payment or the propitiation for our sins. Now, verse 11, he uses rationale here. Beloved, if God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. When I see somebody who really doesn't love other people, you know what it tells me? They must not know how much God loves them. And so I go to work on that. If you're resistant to certain kind of people and you don't love people, and I say, you know what? They just don't, there's something about this thing they don't understand. They have no idea how much God really loves them, because it is impossible to be loved so greatly by a God like this, by the God of the universe, and then not reciprocate and not give it away. And the book says that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then your neighbors yourself. And frankly, that's what we end up doing. We end up loving our neighbors ourselves. And if it's not very much, it's not very much. We give them what we got. If God loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. And by the way, in a brief section here, 21 times does the writer use this verb or noun, love, agape or agapao. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You know what, when you don't know this kind of love, you know what happens to you? You live in fear. You know why people are terrified to die? Because if all this stuff is true and they really do stand before the God of the universe and they really got to have an answer and there really is a heaven and a hell, it'll scare the flip out of you. Because you realize, man, I don't think I have an answer for this. When you get an answer and the Spirit of an Almighty God comes to live in your body and you know He loves you and why He loves you and that you have an answer for eternity and for life, you're not cocky, you're not better than anybody else, you just received a gift that's offered to everybody and you took it. When you get that gift, guys, there is a calming, peaceful thing that happens to you where you say, man, I may not be doing it perfectly every day, but I know that at least when I stand before this God, I have an answer, that I don't deserve His heaven. I can't pay for it. There's no way He should let me in, but that Jesus died for me and paid my way, and I accepted that gift. And God, if that's what it takes, that's what it says, that's why You ought to let me in. That takes a lot of fear out of the equation. Verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. Now look at verse 18, there is no fear in love. You live in fear? The Bible says when you know God's love, there is no fear in love in this respect. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Huge verse. You don't love God because you woke up one day and said, I think I'll love God. Most world religions are man's attempt to get to God. Christianity is the only one where God says, I'll come to you. Most world religions are us climbing some ladder. Oh God, we're going to be good enough. We're going to try to reach you. And God says, you'll never reach me. I'm coming to you. I'm going to come in the flesh, live, die, be buried, raised from the dead, pay the whole deal. Not just a down payment. It's free. It's a gift. Done. We love him because he first loved us. Now here are the killers. Verse 20 and 21. I've read you the context. If someone says, now you listen through your week, even in this room, someone says, oh, I love God so much. They can do the praise the Lord's and they can do all the stuff, you know. Oh, God is so good and praise the Lord and, you know, whatever they say. Part of the deal is, oh, I love God so much. Someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Pretty strong word. The Bible doesn't beat around the bush. If you walk around claiming and telling people, oh, I love God so much, he's been so good to me, And then you look over here and you hate some guy. Let me tell you something. The Bible says, you're a liar. You say, but Richard, they did this. They're weird. I am some kind of magnet. For years, I have been some kind of magnet. I have always got somebody around me. He's a little crazy. Of course, some of you are like, he's not talking about me, is he? I mean, I am a little crazy, but I don't think I'm that crazy. I'm going to tell you why it is. It's not me, guys. It's when you let God loose in your life. You know what happens? People who experience nothing but rejection all their life get around the God of the universe and somebody else's body, and you know what? They respond to it. I wouldn't give a rip about anybody if God didn't love me. I'd pick and choose and go, aren't these nice people? I want to be with them. Get rid of the rest of these. And I'd cull them all out and go. Walked in a huge house a week or two ago. Tragic circumstances. I walked in the front door. Now, guys, I'm telling you what it'll do. This is not me, it's him. But if you'll get available and willing, it'll happen. I walked in and there's a maid who's worked in this house for 8 years. There's been a death in this home. And I looked over and there she was all by herself. You know what? I don't care who owns the house. She's hurting too. I walked over and talked to this maid, put my arm around her and talked to her a little bit too. It's everybody. It's just people. People are just people. Be careful stepping over people, stepping on people. Your basic intent is, God, let me reach this person. Let me love this person. Use me somehow to see their life change. Because God, you've done so much to change my life. How could I do any less? Okay? Now, it doesn't necessarily start out there, God. It starts in here. When you walk in a deal like this, keep your eyes and ears open. Don't stay off to yourself somewhere. That's not family. That's like going to a family reunion and say, oh yeah, that's Uncle Bob's family. We don't talk to them, you know. And you stay in the living room and they stay in the den till it's over and everybody goes home. It's family. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We parade around here and say what? You know what we're telling people? I love God. I believe in this God. I've never seen him, but I love him. And they say, you're telling me you love a God you've never seen when you don't even love flesh and blood people who you see every day. Doesn't make any sense. Verse 21 again, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. And I go over this one over and over, and we may just make this the church verse or something. But John 13, 34, and 35, I'll just read these. He says, where Jesus said it, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Then verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I keep saying it, and I'm going to keep saying it. They're not going to believe for a second that we love God if we don't love one another. It is one of the number one criteria in why people will believe that you love God and you really love them, because we love each other. When the world sees people who gather in the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what their background, what their culture, what their economic status, no matter what, and we make a decision because it is commanded by faith, we say, you know what? Man, I've never had friends like this. I've never done stuff with people like this, but you're my family, so here we go. And you deal with it. And you get through the facade, you get through the shell, you get through all the crust, and you get to the heart of the matter. And when you cut everybody open, we all bleed red blood. And we all cry clear tears. And the organs all look the same. And you could put a black man's heart in a white man's heart, and it'd still beat. Because that stuff doesn't matter. And we allow race and religion and all these things to separate us. And God says, love each other. That's what will change the world. And tell them that the reason you can love them is because I loved you first. And I died and was buried and raised from the dead to make it possible. That's how the world has been changed for thousands of years. And that's what the world's looking for. Somebody to love them.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow and mature in our faith and continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as His hands, feet, and voice to our family, neighborhood, city, and world. You know, not only is that the reason this program exists, but it's also the mission that Pastor Richard himself builds his entire life on, to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus. Isn't that what our marching orders are? Now that he's victoriously been resurrected, to now live forever as our risen Savior. And that's why it's a perfect time to live out this exciting news, for us to now go do Easter together. So a very generous Richard Ellis Talks friend of the program has offered a $50,000 Now Let's Go Do Easter Challenge, ready and waiting to automatically and fully match any new financial gift. The impact of your new gift of any amount will be automatically doubled up to $50,000. So it's a perfect time to live out our Great Commission, for us to now go do Easter together. What a creative way to double the impact of your Great Commission contribution. Just go to the website right now, richardellistalks.com, and join others today to have your new one-time or ongoing gift fully matched, doubling your support. The website, richardellistalks.com. So as we wrap up, thank you for listening today. Thank you for praying for Richard. And thank you for considering to join the Great Commission Matching Gift Challenge at richardellistalks.com. And we'll be honored to join you next time for more Richard Ellis Talks.